We'll continue reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter 29. We'll read text 15 today. Naresho vikshanam madbhavam Humso bhavayato chirat Sparda suyati rashkara Sahankara viyantihi Nareshu. In all persons, abhikshanam, constantly, madbhavam, the personal presence of me, pumsa, of the person, bhavayata, who is meditating upon, achirat, quickly, Spardha, the tendency to feel rivalry against equals. Asuya, envy of superiors. Tiraskara, an abuse of inferiors. Sa, along with. Ahankara, false ego. Vyanti, they disappear. He indeed. Translation and purport by the disciple of Srila Prabhupada. For him who constantly meditates upon my presence within all persons, the bad tendencies of rivalry, envy, and abusiveness, along with false ego, are very quickly destroyed. Please repeat responsibly. For him who constantly meditates upon my presence within all persons, the bad tendencies of rivalry, envy and abusiveness, along with false ego, are very quickly destroyed. Purport. The conditioned souls tend to feel rivalry toward our equals, envy toward our superior, and the desire to belittle our subordinates. These contaminated propensities, along with their very basis, false ego, can be quickly vanquished by meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within every living being. Om Agina Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Milita Menatasmai Shri Guruvei Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapitam Ena Bhuttale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Punantikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Sanamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Haribhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Hare Krishna.
This particular verse is towards the end of the Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto, and Lord Krishna reveals to Uddhava something very interesting. This is the perfect psychotherapy revealed in this verse. In other words, does one become free of the tendencies of competition, material competition, rivalry, envy, abusiveness? How does one get free of the enemies such as the false ego? So in the conditioned state, it's written in the purport, conditioned soul usually has friends and enemies. We call certain people friends because they enhance our sense gratification. And then we got some enemies who detract from our sense gratification. So even within the friendly camp, you will examine, if we examine carefully, we will see that there is still rivalry there. There is no pure friendship. The one friend is trying to dominate the other. It's always there. There is rivalry. So the one has to take a subordinate position in a friendship in order for it to function. Do you agree with me? It's like that. So rivalry in the material world is there, even in friendship. Competition. Who is the boss in the friendship? So that is pervasive, and sometimes people have friends, they may treat people like very impersonally almost. They just greet you and they consider you a friend, but you know, they may not try to dominate you or try to become subordinate to you, but that is basically almost like a very uninvolved friendship. So we're not considering that. But even in that context, when people are kind of uninvolved, they just kind of respect each other from a distance. Even there, one is thinking, I'm better than the other person in his consciousness. I'm better than him or her, whatever. Amazing, huh? So we have a big problem in the material world. Rivalry, envy, abusiveness. And these kind of distant friendships, sometimes it may occur in the future that distant friendship becomes a close friendship, and then one of the two people has to become the boss, has to become the more dominant person in the friendship. Or if they become distant, if the other person who was a friend that we revered from a distance, if they move to the other camp of our enemies, then we immediately become very obvious opponents. And envy and all these negative qualities come. So in the material world we have tremendous problem with that. We can see every day, on so many levels, there is the expressions of rivalry, envy, abusiveness. Perhaps the topmost expression of rivalry we can say is war, when two countries assemble on a battlefield or shoot bombs at each other, trying to destroy each other. But rivalry can exist also in companies, competition for the business, for the market. In the United States, I heard that something like 1,000 companies, from 1,000 companies who open in a year, 950 of them close within the 1 year from their opening, and the next 50 companies, only about 5 remain in the next few years. It's because of competition. Constantly people are trying to compete with each other, put each other down. So the scientific academic community in the world is recognizing that we have a problem as a human being. There is divorce, there is constant fragmentation in groups, out groups. People are fighting with each other. There is competition, there is conflict on many different levels for resources. So that's why in our society we have created a psychological department, psychiatric department, to try to investigate human behavior so that perhaps we can find a way out of these defects of the human being. But of course we have observed, there is even some statistics that are shocking, one of the greatest suicide rates is amongst psychologists and psychiatrists in the world. So they were supposed to be the people who were there to cure others from their defective mentality, but they themselves have one of the highest suicide rates in the world, which is not unusual, because the psychologists, psychiatrists get so many things dumped on them, so many people go to them, patients, and they're dumping all their garbage, their problems. So because they don't have full knowledge, they succumb to the negativity that is there, and at some point they can't cleanse it out of themselves. At some point they just some of them burst out into some kind of negative habits. There is divorce, one of the highest rates of divorce amongst doctors, including psychologists, psychiatrists. So there is tremendous pressure. So in other words, the department that humankind created for curing themselves of these deficiencies is become completely a victim of its own enemy, you know, the defect. So now this verse is stating that simply by meditating on Krishna, upon the presence of Krishna within all living beings, such tendencies as rivalry, envy, abusiveness, false ego very quickly destroyed. Very interesting, huh? This is ancient wisdom. Bhagavatam is spoken over 5,000 years ago by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. However, Bhagavatam has been spoken also on other planets. It's an eternal scripture. So my point is that this is supposed to be something very ancient, and the ancient insights into reality was supposed to be somewhat imperfect, almost like imaginary. The people in the past imagined God, imagined certain things, and you know, they came up with certain worldview because of their mental concoctions, you know. That's what modern historians say. So they say that you know, in the past people were like aborigines and, you know, foolish people, they have no intelligence and so on and so forth. But you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is revealing to us there is a specific medicine for destroying these things, rivalry, envy and abusiveness. And if we examine human history, even if you go 50-100 years ago, you will actually find that when people were more godly in one or another way, when people were more godly, they were more peaceful, they were more free of envy, rivalry, abusiveness, all these different tendencies. And now we're supposed to be evolved, progressive human being, different from the aborigines, whatever. But we find that In modern society, these tendencies of rivalry, envy, and abusiveness are increasing. So, although we are supposed to be moving away from religion, which is supposed to be something crazy and unnecessary and so on and so forth, we find that these defects, dominant defects in the human being, are becoming even more and more present. So this is an indication that the conception, the concept or the idea of modern historians and academics about scriptures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and their idea of what they are presenting and their idea of what can solve the problem is actually imperfect. So it is very important for the devotees to actually present the authentic message of the Bhagavatam, not only through talking but also through application. Now, if you see that religious people are also getting into rivalry and envy and abusiveness, then someone who is not looking for the absolute truth, someone who is very superficial, they will consider that, look, you know, all these religions, they create conflict. Therefore, religion is problematic. In fact, some people say, you know, let's forbid religion in society. Have you heard these notions? Let's forbid it through law. Let's forbid religion. There is no need of it because it causes war. So some people think that rivalry, envy, and abusiveness is due to religion. So we have a big task, because there is a big statement here in the Bhagavatam that if you meditate on Krishna, His presence within all persons, then rivalry, envy, and abusiveness along with false ego are very quickly destroyed. And sometimes we see in devotional communities there is violence, offenses. So if an atheist looks at some devotees, they'll think, you know, this is just mythology. You're supposed to be devotee, but you are speaking harshly towards another person. You're causing rivalry, you're competing, putting the other person down. You see the huge responsibilities we have. So, I saw actually something, how one devotee, another devotee approached him, and that devotee pushed him away and just walked away. I saw it with my own eyes, and that person was like, "What happened here?" You know. And I know that this is envy. It was envy. Basically, just ignoring another person, not wanting to pay attention to another person, due to certain material craziness or whatever. So these tendencies are within us, make no mistake. But now you should ask ourselves, you know, I am a devotee, you know, why I'm still suffering from rivalry, envy, and abusiveness to one or another degree? Well, the answer is here. Are you constantly meditating on Krishna, His presence upon all persons? Are you doing that? So if you're not doing that, of course that you will be full of rivalry, envy, and abusiveness. Or at best, maybe you'll be impersonal towards others. You know, let this body do whatever they want to do. You know, let this guy do whatever he wants to do, and let this person do whatever they want to do. You know, I don't care. I'm just carrying on with my own stuff. You know, impersonalism. I don't care. So every man for himself. So when we practice religion but we behave like this, then we become a misnomer. We become like counterfeit religionist, pretender and a cheater. And a person like this, instead of enhancing other people's faith in God, they are decreasing other people. We are destroying other people's faith in God. So instead of becoming actually the reason for other people to become a devotee, we're becoming totally the opposite. So So we must be very, very careful. This is a huge responsibility to wear dhoti and tilak. It's huge. It's not a joke. You know. Now, why such effects? What is so special about Krishna that when we meditate upon Him, in all living beings, then one's heart becomes perfect? There is no rivalry, envy, and abusiveness. What's so special about this Krishna? Some people will say Krishna was just a prince, he appeared. Some other people will say Krishna was a mythology and whatever, you know. So, if this doesn't happen to us, freedom of rivalry, envy, and abusiveness, and false ego, we may actually think at some point, maybe Krishna is really a mythology. But the point is that we have to apply the process properly. Last night, Devamrita Maharaj said to one gentleman in the audience, you have to enter the Bhakti laboratory and apply the principles that are there, and you'll see that there will be transformation, there will be experience. Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, my spiritual master, used to say that the theology must be experienced. It's not about theory, some kind of data gathering in the head. How many verses do you know, Prabhu? Have you read the Bhagavatam? How many times did you read it? It's not about that. It's about actually the application and then the experience of the theology in our life. It's not about some kind of a dry data processing, you know, accumulation of data. You know, I know so many verses, I've read so many shastras, so many obscure books from different weird scriptures that are not, Prabhupada didn't translate because he didn't think it's necessary. You know, and did you hear about this verse from this tantra and that whatever? And you know, sometimes the world is getting into this kind of things, but actually the practice is, rivalry is there, envy is there, abusiveness is there. So we have to apply the process. Now, what's so special about Krishna? Krishna says that one who understands his transcendental nature, appearance and disappearance, such a person will not take another material body and he will return back to the spiritual world. Janma karma cha medive evam yoviti tatvataha tyakva deha punarjanma naiti mameti so arjuna. One who enters into the spiritual world means that that person already is free of rivalry, envy, and abusiveness. Otherwise, we cannot really enter into that spiritual domain, the pure domain of the spiritual world. So, Krishna actually is free of all the materialistic tendencies, envy, rivalry, abusiveness, because Krishna is the source of everything. He is complete. Therefore, because Krishna is complete and He does not lack anything, and because Krishna is also the source of pure love, He cannot be actually subject to rivalry, envy, and abusiveness. We can also say that Krishna is not under the three modes of material nature, because whoever is controlled by the three modes, tamas, mode of darkness, rajas, passion, and sattva, they have these tendencies, rivalry, envy, and abusiveness. But Krishna is beyond these three modes. And it is very difficult to understand Him if we do not hear from authorities. Because sometimes Krishna fights, Krishna kills, Krishna cheats. So we have to actually understand Krishna's nature to be able to meditate upon His presence within all persons, and in that way we can become free of this rivalry, envy, abusiveness, etc. So the acharyas indicate who Krishna is. They say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Shukadev Goswami, Madhavacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka Swami. Shankaracharya also admitted at the end of his life that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can take the words of the Acharyas for granted. However, we need to examine the scripture to find out very carefully how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, although Krishna sometimes appears to be a rival of someone else, for example, Krishna stole Rukmini on the day of her wedding. Krishna came and like a lion, he snatched Rukmini, put her on a chariot and ran away. So, if someone reads this, they'll think this is a Hindu folklore, you know. There's some gentleman, he fell in love with this lady and, you know, he stole her. But actually, if we examine the writings of the Acharyas, we understand that Krishna has no rivals. He simply did that act, he stole Rukmini, because Rukmini asked him to do so. So, Krishna, simply to satisfy his devotee, to protect his devotee from the demon, she was supposed to be married to Shishupal, yes. Her brother Rukmi made an arrangement that she marry Shishupal. So Krishna protected Rukmini. So his rivalry of Shishupal, him stealing Rukmini, was actually had nothing to do with the three modes of material nature and the material world. Why? Because if we examine why a person steals in this material world, we will see that they are stealing because they are lacking something. So they want to benefit themselves in some way. Right? But when we examine Krishna stealing, Krishna is always stealing, whether it's Rukmini or Vata or something, is always trying to enhance the devotion of their devotees, to protect them and to create a deeper relationship between himself and them. While the thief is never thinking, I want to create a deeper relationship by stealing your wallet, you know, something like that. So you can see the difference between Krishna and an ordinary thief. Now when an ordinary thief, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, when we try to imitate Krishna, we go to hell, Prabhupada says. When Krishna steals, he is glorified by everyone. But when you try to imitate Krishna by stealing, you go to hell. So that's the difference between the conditioned soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when you actually realize why Krishna stole, why he was a rival of Shishupal and of Rukmi and all these demonic entities, you understand that Krishna is simply trying to benefit the devotees, to protect the devotees, to uphold religion. Kshatriya was supposed to protect a woman also. And he did that. So when a devotee studies this and he understands why Krishna does it, the devotee or the conditioned soul's tendency to have envy and rivalry towards others immediately decreases, because they start to realize why Krishna did this and how Krishna is transcendental. Krishna is a very amazing personality, and if they want to relate to Krishna, then they'll immediately want to become free of this quality that will separate them from him. You understand? So in that way, Krishna is the cure of our psychology, really. Krishna might have appeared envious when he stole Rukmini, but he was not envious at all, because he is complete. Om Purna Adaha Purna 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 Tudachati Purnasa Purna Madaya Purna Meva Vashishati. According to Shri Upanishad, Krishna is complete. is Mother Yashoda saw the whole world in his mouth. Basically, he is within the material creation as the super soul, and he is without. So he is very inconceivable. In other words, everything emanates from Krishna. Krishna revealed that also in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that everything emanates from him. So these are things that we need to meditate upon, how actually Krishna is the origin of everything, how he is complete, how he is not lacking in any way, and his behavior is not, his activities are not based on some sort of selfishness. He's not acting simply to benefit himself in some way, like the conditioned souls in this material world. Now, although Krishna appears in this world, he's got two types of pastimes, prakat and aprakat, manifest and unmanifest. He appears, the acharyas explain, he appears just like a theatrical person on the stage in this world. Although he appears in this world, his behavior is transcendental. So someone may think that if Krishna appears in this world, he is also a conditioned soul. But actually, his activities are simply out of love towards the living entities. Even if we consider the example of Krishna killing Shishupal at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna chopped the head of Shishupal with his Sudarshan Chakra. That is like an extreme act that can be shocking. But we know the background is that Shishupal was insulting Krishna, and Krishna told him, or told himself, I'll tolerate him 100 times. And when he does it over that 101, then I can actually take action. So he tolerated, he was extremely tolerant. Imagine someone insults you 100 times. You know, how much can you tolerate? You know, really, 100 is quite a bit of insult. But even Krishna's killing of Shishupal liberated Shishupal. The soul of Shishupal merged into Krishna's body. Of course, it was Sayuja, but Krishna didn't send him to hell. So, in this way we can understand that Krishna's killing is actually very special. It's a gain to benefit that soul. Very interesting. But if a conditioned soul is trying to kill another person to benefit them, he'll go to hell. So that's the difference between us and Krishna. So when you understand that how Krishna can do things that are beyond your abilities, then you become very amazed at that personality. You become very attracted. And because Krishna doesn't tolerate rivalry, envy, abusiveness, since he is the source of love, immediately we would want to drop these things down, these qualities. And through the process of devotional service, by engaging in devotional service to Krishna, our heart becomes purified of these tendencies. Because we are experiencing higher pleasure, the higher taste, coming in contact with Krishna. For example, in this age, the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It gives a special completeness, special satisfaction, special pleasure that comes with chanting of the holy name. And in that way, one's senses become controlled. So one diminishes their rivalry, envy and abusiveness. Of course, if the chanting is either on the level of Namabhas or level of Sudanam, that happens. If one chants in a Namaparat, then it will carry on. These things will carry on. So that means we have to apply the process properly to be able to experience the benefit of the process. So another interesting thing is Krishna says that Sarvasya Chaham Hridesya Nivisto. I am present in all the hearts of all living beings. So when one reads this, or another verse from the Gita comes to my mind, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha, that I am present everywhere within all the living beings. When we recognize what is this world, what is the position of Krishna, what is our position, then we understand that we are the servant of Krishna, that this world actually has a source, which is a personal source, conscious being, and that conscious being is Krishna, cannot be anyone else, because you can examine all the other persons in this world, they don't have these qualities. You can examine many different shastras and you can see that there is no such person as Krishna. Even if you study the Bible or the Quran, the Lord is obscure there. There is not much said about God. Jesus says, my Father who is in heaven is greater than I. But what is the Father really? It's very little there. The Quran is very little explanation about the identity of God. But there is of course some qualities of God described in these scriptures. And when you study Krishna's character, you see it's the same qualities that have been described in these scriptures. They are in totality expressed into the personality of Krishna. Like that. So when Krishna says, Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, all the living entities in this material world are my fragmental parts and parcels, and they are struggling very hard with the six senses, we understand that everything actually is Krishna's energy. Everything in this world. Then the Vishnu Purana states, Vishnu Shakti para prakta kshetra gyakya tata para vidya karma samgeya trite shakti ishate, that the source of everything is a conscious being, Vishnu or Krishna, and he has different energies, Bahirangi Shakti, Anturanga Shakti, and Tatastha Shakti, different energies. They have different capacity, quality, different function. So when you understand everything emanates from this one person, Krishna, like we mentioned earlier, his mother saw the whole universe in his mouth. He is inside the universe and outside. He is everywhere, omnipresent. Then you start to see every person as an object of service to Krishna. If I look at you, any person, I can actually express my ability to serve Krishna towards all of you, towards all living beings, not only the devotees, but also the atheists and the living entities, including the animals, the trees, all living beings. So in that way, because the devotee perceives Krishna everywhere, he or she tries to serve Krishna within each species. Not just to speak about devotees. Sometimes we say serve the devotees, and sometimes we think that this is the end of it, just to serve the devotees. But actually, when one becomes a devotee and serves the devotees, in time he or she understands that we can actually serve everyone in this world in some way or other, because Krishna is present everywhere, and every condition so in this material world requires compassion, because they are an illusion. So by serving the devotees, you get the understanding that you have to serve everyone. Interesting, huh? So by seeing Krishna in the heart, and in that way, when you want to serve and assist, what is there, the foundation for rivalry, envy and abusiveness? There is no such foundation. If you want to serve others and benefit others, there is no question of rivalry, envy and abusiveness. Amazing, huh? So you can actually see how this scientific process is very powerful. Now, what's the proof of that? My Guru Maharaj, Bhaktirtha Maharaj, used to say, if you want to join a specific movement, theistic movement, there is three things to examine. What is the goal of this movement? If I follow this, what will happen to me? What will I become if I follow this? Second, Who has achieved that goal in the past? Prabhupada, the acharyas. And third question, who is achieving that goal now? Are there any people achieving this goal now? If there is no people achieving this goal now, at present, and I can see it with my eyes that they are free of rivalry, envy and abusiveness, then what's the use of me joining this movement? Interesting. Very powerful stuff. So this is a real science. It's a theistic science. It's a transcendental science. So we have to absorb our consciousness constantly to discover who Krishna is, what is our relationship. We shouldn't think, I know Krishna. You know, I'm already a devotee, I've got tilak, I don't have to study more about him. You know, I chant. We should always think, you know, Krishna is so amazing that I cannot understand him. I have to try to understand Krishna more and more. And I have to examine his character, his qualities, his pastimes, you know. So that can be the constant absorption of a devotee, to actually study the characteristics of one's beloved. Why? So that we can serve Krishna more. We can serve Krishna more, and we can actually perceive Krishna, his presence, since everything is an emanation from him. Just like the sun and the sun rays. The sun is the origin of the sun rays, but the sun rays are spread everywhere. And by experiencing the sun rays, or by coming in contact with the sun rays, we are coming in contact with the sun. Similarly, if we are serving the living entities in this world with the aim of raising their consciousness and reconnecting them back to Krishna, then automatically we will be connecting to Krishna as well in that mood of service. So if you examine very carefully, the Western world has no solution for these problems. They just can't come up with anything that could enhance the qualities of human beings. So even if they stop religion, they will not be able to do that, because the very mother of ethical and moral behaviors is religion, when it's practiced properly. Again, I'm emphasizing this. If religion is practiced improperly, then it has the opposite effect. Bhaktivinoda Maharaj said, religion is like an atomic bomb. It depends in whose hands it is. So if religion falls into the hands of people with ulterior motives that are not aiming to practice this religion to please Krishna, but to get something out of it for themselves, automatically, if there is the desire to maintain envy and so on, religion is used for ulterior motives as a front to get territorial gain or financial gain or whatever, then immediately that becomes like a destructive atomic bomb. Religion is very, very powerful. So in the modernity, we see Srila Prabhupada was a perfect example of Krishna's qualities. Because Prabhupada was so pure, so many living entities got attracted to him, and Prabhupada helped them to understand Krishna and to connect to Krishna. Even those of us who didn't even see directly Prabhupada, we get attracted, because he has created pure devotees who are attracting us further. We can never understand Prabhupada without his disciples. Make no mistake. If you don't take shelter of a disciple, pure disciple of Srila Prabhupada, you can never understand Prabhupada. That notion is out of a question. So Prabhupada has created this wonderful, awesome family that shows this pure consciousness in action, freedom of rivalry, envy and abusiveness. Prabhupada was like that. Once his divine grace was asked, Prabhupada, so many people love you. How is that possible? Why do the people love you so much? And Prabhupada said, because I love everyone. You know. Actually, the exact words were, Prabhupada, everyone loves you so much. Why? Why this is so? And Prabhupada said, because I love everyone. That's amazing, huh? So, don't try to be loved by everyone. Try to love everyone. And then everyone will love you. It's very important. Because sometimes we come to ISKCON and we try to be loved by everyone. And we just wait, who's going to love me today? Huh? Gonna love me. And then you say, these guys are all bad. Nobody loves me, you know. But the point is totally the opposite. We have to actually come. We are coming here to uncover our ability to love, which has been forgotten. And it is already within our heart. So the more we are actually doing that, the more we'll experience love coming from other people. Sometimes even atheists can show you love, you know, by if you're just kind, and they can assist you in many different ways. They may be in ignorance, they may not know who you are, what you're doing, but they may, hey, well, I want to support this person, I want to help them in some way, you know. They feel inspired because you are showing them some love and affection and care, so they want to support. Well, sometimes on book distribution, some person says, I'm an atheist, but they feel excited by the devotee and by their speaking, their behavior, their consciousness. So the atheist says, you know, okay, if you're a monk, I want to support you. You know, I don't believe in God or whatever, but I just want to give you a donation or something. So even an atheist sometimes wants to show some love and appreciation, you know. So definitely this movement, ISKCON, is crucial for the re-spiritualization of society. Prabhupada has brought it to cure the illness of the conditioned soul, to give an opportunity to as many people as possible from all over the world, all walks and talks, all backgrounds, to actually become purified from false ego, ahankara, and become reinstated in their original consciousness of pure love of Krishna, understanding their relationship with Krishna. So this is the perfect cure for deficient psychology or proper consciousness, for defective consciousness. Not any kind of material adjustments, whatever they may be, being promoted these days. So if we really want to help ourselves, we have to understand who Krishna is. We have to dive into the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And in that way become purified and become an agent of love in this world. Become a vessel for Krishna's love in this world. And live your life like this. So if you live with love in this world, that means you're understanding Krishna's position, Krishna's birth and activities in this world that are different from a conditioned soul, and you'll naturally be eligible to return back to the spiritual world as Krishna promises in the Bhagavad Gita. You'll become eligible to re-enter into the original spiritual reality. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Any comments or questions?
You said Krishna is amazing and he's so wonderful. And then why we contact him?
What's that?
We know that Krishna is amazing, very wonderful, we have got all the good qualities. Still we can't contact him.
Oh, okay, okay. Why we try to forget Krishna? Do you try to forget him?
No.
You're asking for us, for our sake. Okay. Hare Krishna. We try to forget him because he is our competitor. If you remember Krishna, you cannot be envious and have competitors and whatever. You know, you'll become a servant. But if you don't want to become a servant, if you want to compete with others and enjoy through competing with others, to show Purusha Bhav, you know, I am a great guy, you know, then you'll naturally have to forget him. You want to forget, because Krishna is like a medicine for the consciousness. As soon as you remember Krishna, immediately your service attitude comes forward, because he is so wonderful. And I can give you one example. If you see a wonderful person in this world, immediately the service attitude comes forward. You know, if you're not envious person, you know, like very envious person. So the same thing with Krishna. Because he is so wonderful, one who has little purity, they want to offer him service like that. So the more we want to be a Purusha, an enjoyer, independent controller and enjoyer, we will have to forget Krishna, because remembrance of Krishna immediately means service, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is that okay? I'm trying to understand Krishna myself, so please forgive me for my imperfect presentation, but I've got no understanding, so I'm just trying to understand a little bit at least, so that I can make advancement. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Krishna Prem.
How to reduce this envy?
How to reduce the envy?
Yeah, if you have two envies,
then... You should read Krishna book. You should study Krishna book very carefully. And when you understand that you cannot beat Krishna, you will become immediately free of envy. You see, you are envious of Krishna because you still think Krishna is a human being, so I can defeat him. Envious person is envious of another person because he or she thinks that I can do, if I try, I can be better than that guy, you know. But when you understand that you can never be better than Krishna, then envy is useless. But if you think that you can do better than that person, then envy immediately has a place. You understand my point? So the cure for envy is to read Krishna book. So when you understand who Krishna is, then immediately you say, oh, 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 I cannot be like that. No ways. Cannot expand myself into 16,108, build 16,108 palaces or whatever. So if you're genuine, you'll become like this. But if you are a cheater, you'll say, look, this is mythology. Let me see where the gopis for my own enjoyment. You see. So you can cure yourself of envy if you want to be cured. That's my point. Any other comments or questions? All right. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Jai Gaur Premanandi.